Well, this is going to sound probably crazy. I mean, I think that if you haven't had the kind of experience like I'm going to tell you about, you're probably going to think there's something wrong with this woman. But I'll never forget 13 years ago this spring, I was on the road and I was driving from Lancaster back here to Lansdale, and on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, I actually can tell you that the presence of God was so real in my old Honda Odyssey that I actually had to pull over to the side of the road. I mean, I don't know if it was out loud. I don't know if it was just in my head, but I'm telling you, I heard these words. Anne, that's me. Do you trust me? I was like, what? I'm looking around and I hear the words again. Anne, do you trust me? Well, I've been walking with Jesus for a long time, so I'm telling you that I've come to hear the voice of God. It sounds different every time, and yet it always sounds the same. And he said it again, do you trust me? And I said, yes, Lord, I trust you. And I pulled over to the side of the road because I felt so overwhelmed. I just felt like I can't keep driving 79 miles an hour. I couldn't do that. So I heard the voice of God say to me, Anne, your life will never be the same after tonight. In fact, nothing about your life is going to be the same this side of heaven after tonight. But I want you to know I've got you. Okay. And then, I don't know, maybe I sat there for 5 minutes. Maybe I sat there for 2 hours. I really don't know. But I heard God like fill me with this conversation where he just poured out love over me and kept saying, I love you. I've got you. I have plans for your future. There is hope. There will be redemption in your life. And God, I am with you. I'm present with you. I've got your children, and your girls will be safe in me. And I just was like, okay, I hear that. So I pull back on the highway and I drive home, and he was right. That night, everything changed. I experienced heartache and grief that night like I could have never imagined. And 13 years later, my life is not the same. And I carry scars that I did not ever, in my wildest imagination, expect. So maybe that's why when I opened up the Bible, and you know, we plan out how we're gonna do our sermons, and we've been the last 5 weeks, Pastor Mark's been leading us in a Lenten series, and we've been looking through John chapters 13 into 17. And so when I opened the Bible to the passage that we're in today, I felt like I was standing on holy ground. And in my living room, I had another moment like that a couple weeks ago as I began to read. Okay, I'm preaching on John chapter 16, beginning of verse 16 through John 17. And as I read it, I wept because I felt the presence of God because it reminded me of that moment. The experience on the side of the Pennsylvania Turnpike wasn't the first time I felt like I'd stood face to face with God. And it certainly hasn't been the last. But right on the side of the road, I knew I was on holy ground. And as I opened up today's passage, I knew I was on holy ground. When we read John chapter 16, on this side of the cross and the resurrection, we understand what's coming, right? We know the end of the story. In John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and when they are listening to him, they have no idea what the future holds. Just like on the side of the road, I had no idea what God was talking about. So for us in 2024, we're on this side of the cross. We're on this side of the resurrection. So it all makes sense in some way that we look and we can see what Jesus was talking about. You know, but for the disciples, it was as confusing and scary as possible. You know, the names and the faces are different. The circumstances are different. But the intensity with which Jesus has this final conversation on this side of the cross with the disciples is just as piercing. I want to read from John chapter 16. So I'm going to ask you to do this. If you have your Bible with you, open to John 16. If you do not, seriously, get your phone out. I want you to get out your phone, open a Bible app. If you don't have one on your phone, you can simply Google John 16, and then type in NIV, because that's the passage I want to read from. We don't have it on the screen, but actually that's intentional, and I'll tell you in a minute why. As you're looking for that, John 16, you're going to scroll down to verse 16 in the NIV translation. I love this conversation because Jesus is warning the disciples of hard times to come. And he's promising that they won't go through these hard times alone. All right, you got it? John 16, verse 16. Stand with me, would you, as I read this passage. Jesus went on to say, "In a little while, you'll see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me." What this? Some of the disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father'?" And they kept asking, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he's saying." So Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'?" I'm sure they were like, "Yes, that's what we're asking." "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you'll no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have never asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I've been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I'll no longer use this kind of language, but I will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Finally, you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you don't even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." Jesus replied, "So you now believe? A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have" what? "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." You may be seated. Lord, as we in this room right now in 2024, walk through our own storms of life, would you teach us to trust you? Would you help us grab hold of what you actually came to the cross and came out of the grave to do for us? Amen. Now, if you put this on your phone, I want you can put your phone away, but don't close where you just were. Because here's what I want to encourage you to do. Every day between now and next time we gather here on a Sunday morning, you could read a chapter and it'll tell you the rest of the story. We'll be here Thursday night and we'll be back here Sunday morning. But I want you to keep going back. Start again, chapter 16, 17, 18, 19, all the way up through the end of John. One chapter a day and ask the Lord to speak to you. Because of the empty grave, there are three things that I want. I mean, there's a ton of stuff in these chapters, John 16 and 17. But there are three things that to me are mind-blowing, like pivotal plot twists in the story and that Jesus comes to share about with his disciples in John chapter 16. So there are three things I want to show you this morning that if you had not known the end of the story, these things would have made no sense. First of all, because of the cross and the empty grave, Jesus says, you will be able to speak directly to your Father. That's crazy. Because before that, the Jews had only known certain ways of communicating with God. If they wanted to talk to God, it was only the priest who could go into the high holy places and talk to God. And when they needed a word from the Lord, most often it was because a prophet would come and speak the word of the Lord and people would take them at their word. Even when Jesus was alive and the disciples were with him, they didn't speak directly to God. What they did is they listened to Jesus and they didn't talk to the Father. They simply listened to Jesus and were trying to understand who is he. And in the process, they would ask him questions and he would say, I will make your request known to the Father. So it is completely a plot twist from all of history before the cross that Jesus says, I have come and I am finishing the work. In fact, he's so confident of what's going to happen on Friday and Saturday. In the whole time he's speaking in John 16, in the whole time he's praying to the Father in John 17, he says it this way, Father, I have completed the work you sent me to do. He hadn't actually even completed it because the cross was still ahead of him. The resurrection was still to come. But Jesus knew, I have said what you've told me to say. I have pointed people to you. And what is going to happen, I know is going to happen. I'm confident that I'm going to conquer death, conquer the grave, so we can be assured of the fact that the job is done. And Jesus is talking about a whole new way of relating to God. You know, over the past 5 weeks, I said during Lent, Pastor Mark has encouraged us to read and reread John chapters 13 through 17. I'm not going to ask how many have actually done that, but I know many of you have, and here's how I know. Because in passing, in texts, in phone calls, in conversations, I've heard many people say to me, there are some things I've read as I'm reading through this passage that I never understood before. For example, either they have never grew up talking to God at all, or they grew up in a church tradition where talking directly to God, even in 2024, still was a faith tradition that said you need someone to go between you and the Father. And what we've come to see here is, wait, Jesus said I can talk directly to the Father? Even in 2024, that's still hard for some of us to understand. My response was, isn't that amazing? I mean, that's why Jesus came, so that we could have direct access, actual conversations with the Father. Another friend said to me maybe it was two Sundays ago, she came up to me, I'm looking to see if she's here, but she came up all excited and she said, so I'm reading the passage Pastor Mark asked us to read. And I can't believe this, but do you know that in the Bible it says that we're supposed to pray in Jesus' name? I said, yes, I've heard that. She said, you know, my whole life I've heard people pray. And then they say, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Anybody ever heard people pray like that? She was like, I never understood what that meant. I thought that was like some liturgy or something from somewhere. I mean, what is Jesus saying when he says, you can go directly to the Father? Listen to it from the Living Bible. It says it this way. You won't need to ask me for anything. You can go directly to the Father and ask him. He will give you what you ask for because you use my name. Jesus was saying to the disciples, you haven't tried this before, but begin now. Ask using my name and you will receive. And, he says, your cup of joy will overflow. Isn't it amazing that joy is directly connected to our connection to the Father? Why will our joy overflow? Because being in the presence of God is the source of all joy. And so Jesus has come to take away every barrier between us and God so that we can have a dynamic, interactive conversation with him. You know, so she said something like, you know, I mean, it feels like, are these just magic words? Like, I pray for a Maserati in Jesus' name. Amen. I think when I was 12, I probably still actually believed that was true. But you know what we're acknowledging when we pray in Jesus' name is that our access to God in prayer is only possible because of what Jesus is getting ready to do on the cross. Through our faith in Jesus and his death on the cross, our relationship with God is restored and we have open access. On the other side of the cross, Jesus has promised that though he is no longer physically present, his leaving paves the way for the Holy Spirit to actually live inside us. We're not even just talking to the Father somewhere out there, but we can go directly in conversation with him to ask for wisdom and guidance and direction, to tell him about our fears and our worries and our questions. We can talk to him about everything that's in our heart, the good, the bad, the ugly. We can hear the voice of God, not just through a prophet, but that the Holy Spirit is speaking the words of God in where we are. And we can have the mind of Christ and we can get God's thoughts. And in fact, even when we don't know what to say and our grief and our pain and our storms are so big, the Holy Spirit has promised to translate what we can't even put into words to the Father. I'm so grateful that not everything I've always thought I wanted is what God did. In Jesus' name, I pray for, and he was like, oh dear, you're in trouble if I give you that. Let's go to the second thing. So first of all, because of the cross and the empty grave, we have direct access to God. Secondly, in John chapter 16, verses 32 and 33, this is probably on the top 10 list of Bible verses that people know, right? In this world, you will have, but what? But take heart, be encouraged. I've overcome the world. You know, it won't always be like this. I don't know about you, but aren't there seasons of time where it just feels like one bad thing happens, another thing happens, another thing happens, and you find yourself like, Lord, I cannot take any more. My heart couldn't break any further, or I just don't understand. And I think what Jesus is telling us here is echoed now then through the rest of the New Testament, that one day our pain and sorrow will end, and we will have joy. But we seem to live with an expectation that we will see all things made right on this side of eternity. Why is it that our expectation is that we will live life and we will get our happily ever after right now? This is not what Jesus promised. We've been talking for weeks now about being in storms. If you think that coming to Jesus means I will no longer have any storms, you have not been listening to the last 5 weeks, right? We will have storms. We will have trouble. Being a Christian doesn't guarantee an easy life. On this side of the cross, when trouble comes, we have every right to panic and fear and be confused and be frustrated and disappointed. On this side of the cross, we have this expectation that in our lifetime, we will experience happiness, comfort, all good things, that we will get answers to every question, that there will be resolutions to our problems. There will be closure for everything that doesn't seem to be resolved. We have this expectation, even as Christians, that on this side of the cross, for some reason, on this side of eternity, that we will get our answers, that we will have healing physically, that we will have healing in all relationships. But can I tell you, that's not the perspective that we learn about in the Bible. God is super clear to say, that's not what I'm promising. What I'm promising is my presence, my peace. He gives us peace when we surrender our expectations to him. He does not necessarily change the circumstances. And there are some things in my life, there are things I know in your life that you think and I think, Lord, how much longer is this going to last? And I've had to ask the question, what do I say about God if it lasts until death? What if people I love never get healing? What if certain things are never resolved? What if one trial comes and another trial comes? What does that actually say about my trust in God? I put myself back on the side of the turnpike, and the presence of God made me want to take off my shoes like Moses did on holy ground. But what he promised wasn't, I'm going to fix all these things. What he promised was, you can trust me. I am good. The third thing that we understand from what Jesus says in this passage actually starts in John 17. And I think it's actually fascinating because it struck me. First of all, did you know that it's called the high priestly prayer in John 17? And so it's the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the Bible. You know, we often call like our Father who art in heaven, the Lord's prayer. But actually Jesus was telling the disciples how to pray. That wasn't actually his prayer. That was, here's a model for how you can pray. But in John 17, we hear God the Son talking to God the Father. So in my mind, these are the things that he thinks are the most important to talk to God about. And what he says is this, Father, in John 17, verse 14, I have given them your word, meaning his disciples, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. But I don't ask you to take them out of the world. I ask that you would keep them from the evil one. Have you ever wondered, why can't we just go right to heaven when we're saved? I don't know, I think that a lot. Like, wouldn't that be more fun? Like, I believe in Jesus, whoop, gone. Get to be in heaven, be with Jesus. No more trouble, no more sorrow, no more pain. I think it's actually one of the hardest things to accept with regard to our faith, that God doesn't just take away our pain, that God doesn't just clear all storms forever the moment that we begin a relationship with him. In fact, I think that following Jesus often means we have more questions than answers, that we're more misunderstood or persecuted or hated by the world. But on the other side of the cross and the empty grave, God promises to be with us in our trouble. Because the whole point of our lives in coming to Jesus is so that we would know him and we would live in an unbelieving world in such a way that everything that happens to us is an opportunity to point people to Jesus. Listen what he said. I have not, they're not of this world, right? I mean, we are of this world when we first are born. We're of this world, which means that we're following the values and the beliefs and the behaviors of everyone who doesn't know Jesus. But as Christians, we're not like that. We begin to follow God's word, and it changes the way that we think. It changes the way we spend our money. It changes the way that we talk. It changes our actions and behavior. We're to be becoming people of grace and love and kindness and compassion and people of unity in a world that's completely living in an opposite way. But what Jesus is inviting us to and asking the Father to do in us, protect us in this world, so that we don't lose our hope, so that we guard the peace that he's given us in the midst of the hard things. He's promising that if we abide in him, like he already said in John 15, if we abide in him and we keep his commandments, that our joy will be complete. Sometimes want to say, I don't like that plan. Because I think if I were God, I'd do it differently. But I have to tell you that what I've discovered is real joy is watching God come through when it doesn't make sense. When, just like he warned the disciples, he cared enough about me to pull me over on the side of the road to say, hey, heads up, this is coming, but I've got you. I love you. There's hope and a future. And I'm like, yeah, I already know that. He's like, no. You don't understand. Tomorrow you're going to ask, is there any hope? Is there any future? So I'm telling you now that your grief will turn to joy, whether that's on this side of heaven or not. I have found that actually the most authentic and real relationships have come. The easiest way for me to talk to people about Jesus is to meet them in their pain. Because nobody really cares when we're doing great. I mean, they're like, oh, that's good for you. But inside, they're a little bit like, if my life were that happy, I'd be happy too. But the reality is, it's in our pain that people identify. What is different about you? So I've been thinking, he said, we're not of this world anymore, but we're going to be in this world. But then later on in John 17, Jesus says, Father, just like you sent me to the world, I am sending them to the world. So that's been going on in my head. And so one morning, I do the same devotional every day. It's from the Lectio Divina, if you have the app. It's like 10 minutes in the morning, these wonderfully accented voices share the word and guide me in prayer for 10 minutes in the morning and then 10 minutes at night. And every day it kind of ends with a prayer that's very much the same. So a couple weeks ago, I was kind of in a hurry for work and I got everything ready and everything's by the door to go, but I sat down having my time with the Lord and I listened to this, and the prayer at the end ends with this phrase, Spirit, help me to love those who are lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. So I said, Spirit, would you help me to love my neighbors who are lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say? And then I added, because honestly, I have no idea how to do that. I mean, I want to tell people about you, and it feels like you've put me in a neighborhood of all kind of religious differences, and I don't even know where to start. So would you do that? I get my stuff, I get in the car, I'd beeline from the door, in the car, sit down, turn it on, and I hear the Spirit say, open the window. Why does this always happen in the car? Open the window. I'm like, open the window? I said out loud, open the window. I'm like, I don't even know how to open the window. I push the button, and then I'm like, I can't get the window open. Well, here I had opened that window, not this window. And as I looked, when I'm saying, open the window, I look and there's a face at the window. And this woman says, is this your house? I was like, yeah, it's my house. She's like, oh, well, this is my friend, and hi, and they're in the car. We walk by here every day, and you always have, like, candles on in the window, and we always think, wouldn't it be so fun to go inside that house? So we're just wondering, like, one day, could we come in? I was like, I'm glad my kids don't live here anymore because I know there's no underwear on the floor. I was like, I heard the Lord say, this is how we start. So I turned off the car. They come in even with their dogs. And we began this lovely conversation, not about anything important, simply about how I came to the house, why I was living here. You know, we just kind of shooting the breeze. And I heard God say, you live in this world, but you're not of this world. But I'm sending you to this world. Keep the window open. The things you thought were going to happen in your life won't. But I'm writing a new story, and I'm giving you my presence, which is more important than any circumstance. So we're going to close this morning because we have to. But we're gonna sing an old hymn together that I've been just having in my head over and over again, because I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene. I wonder, how could he love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean? So I'm inviting you for a couple things this morning. I wonder if you just simply need to stand amazed in his presence. But I'm also wondering, you know, Easter's coming, and I guarantee you people coming in here next Sunday will hear about Jesus. So I wonder if the Spirit might be saying to you, roll down the window. And whose face appears when you do that, that might need to meet the Jesus who made it possible for us to know the Father?